Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hi, this is Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Raphael Pastor. How are you, Raphael?
I'm great. Thank you, Robert. Enjoy being with you.
Yes, and as you know, we've spoken with Raphael in the past, and before we talk about corporations where you've led many and internationally and governance in depth, I want to ask you about your international background and being a person who speaks five languages, which is something very few American citizens do. And you're also a lawyer, investment banker, CEO. What did your international experience teach you and help you shape your career?
You know, that's a great question, because I often tell people, if they're willing to listen to me, that whatever you know can be useful to you in a different way at some point, as long as you can make the connection with the prior experience and the new opportunity, and as long as you make other people know that you know what you know. So in my case, for example, I was born in Israel. My parents are from Hungary, and I spoke fluent Hungarian because that's what they spoke at home. At one point later in my life, when the Iron Curtain was falling apart, the fact that I spoke Hungarian was awfully useful to me in terms of my career and my working with News Corp and Rupert Murdoch. Somewhat similarly, the fact that I studied criminology at Columbia when I was an undergraduate, I know a bit about Russia. My wife is from St. Petersburg, became very useful to me later on when we were looking at opportunities in the Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc. So these things all kind of help out later on. But I think more broadly to your question, if you spend a lot of time abroad, if you speak a few languages, if you're acculturated to different countries and different habits and rules in these different countries, it does two things for you. In my case, it was a big booster for my career because I worked a lot internationally and I was able to be a bridge between the Americans and the people in the other countries, and they both sides kind of felt comfortable with me. So that was good. But the other thing is that I think travel and exposure to these different cultures and languages, etc., just gives you an added level of confidence that you can navigate almost anything in the world, and that's just a good way of becoming as not just as an executive, but as a human being in this very kind of global society we live in.
And speaking about navigating through a diverse background, I don't know I'll be able to even get all of this right, but you were president of CBS Fox International. You were president of USA Today Networks. You were CEO of Hoyt Cinemas. You were CEO and chairman of Vistage International, which I believe is largest for-profit CEO organization. Talk about all of those backgrounds and what are the core principles you learned about leadership and transformation of organizations.
I think what I learned across those different places is that the only constant is change, and your capacity to adapt to change is really important. You have to identify where the change may be coming from, because, as I always used to say, it's not so much about looking forward and looking in your rearview mirror. It's really in your side view mirror, what's coming at you in terms of technology, in terms of competition, in terms of marketplace changes. That's the only constant, and the ability to foresee it, take risks in dealing with it, and most importantly, actually doing something proactively before it happens to you, I think is really important, and has been for the last number of decades and will continue to be, and even more so in the future, because change is exponentially accelerating how we have to do business. So I think that's really important, and I think the willingness to take risks, is, you know, calculated risk, is really important, including in some cases the risk of cannibalizing your own business in order to be part of whatever's coming next, as opposed to being bogged down in the way you were doing business before. Blockbuster, had it done that, would be Netflix today. Borders had done that, it could be Amazon today. They're both out of business. And I've had a number of experiences, which I won't get into unless you want me to, where we did take the risk of cannibalization, and it turned out to be the right thing to do. Just as an example of the ability and willingness to adapt to change, foresee change, and, as I say, take risks.
I would like to hear about those example of risk. And I know at Vistage, for example, it's you hear about risk management from globally a lot of tens of thousands of CEOs. But if you have an example on risk management and what you learned from that, I'd like to hear that.
Well, I'll give you three quick examples. One, when I was president of CBS Fox Video International, the business was mostly a rental business. You were already renting video cassettes. And then the opportunity came along to do what was called sell-through, which was to sell the cassettes instead of renting them. When you rent them, you get, you know, 20 to 30 turns a month. If you sell them, you can only sell them at one time. And there was always the fear that if people could buy the cassettes, they're not going to rent the cassettes. It might impact your business. And my view, and other people in the industry at the time, was you can do both, even if you run the risk that the sell-through business might impede your rental business. And there was a lot of debate and anxiety about all that, but in the end we ended up doing it, and it turned out to be the right thing. Somewhat similarly, when I was at Hoyt Cinemas, and this was true for our company as well as for all of our competitors, I think we were the fourth largest in the country in terms of the cinema chain. But a lot of our cinemas were one and two screen theaters up and down the East Coast of the United States. And in the meantime, multiplexes were coming into play. And within 3 to 5 miles of our small little one or two screen theaters, the city or the county would approve a multiplex with 12 to 18 screens. And we knew that whoever had that was going to put us out of business on our little ones. So we had a choice, either just hold on to the little ones and get put out of business locally, or go for the big one within 3 or 5 miles and put ourselves out of business, in effect. Well, we did the latter, and it was the right thing to do. But not everyone did it, and some were more skittish about it than others, as an example. And so, you know, I'll stop there. But I think it's very important to take those kind of risks. There are many other examples besides the cannibalization ones I've given you.
What are the key nuances? Like, for example, in Europe, maybe chairman and CEO is more tied together, and maybe in Japan it's completely different, or in China, chairman is the more prominent title. What are the best practices in governance in different international locations?
The very simplistic answer to that question is in the question itself. And that is that the best practice for a country is the one that it uses. And that best practice may be different from the best practice in the neighboring country. That's in the neighboring country, the whatever is right for it is the one should be its governance. Because these things are based a lot about the culture of the country. Japan, in terms of the whole hierarchy of how they run businesses and society itself, is very different from how they do things over in France, for example. And so you have to be understanding that the culture is different. That's number one. Number two, the history and the regulatory environment as it relates to corporations is going to be very different in one country than the other. Even in the United States, it's different from one state to another. There are reasons why so many companies, for example, are incorporated in Delaware. They choose to be for reasons that are beneficial to them. So there's variety in the culture, there's variety in the history and regulations, and you have to respect it. And I don't think that, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And in any case, even if it did, it wouldn't happen to say we should have the governance structure from Japan brought to the United States or the governance structure of the United States brought to Germany. It's just not the way things work. Each country is different. Having said that, experience informs how different countries adapt their governance protocols to their countries. And so particularly the experience in the United States, because we certainly still have the largest economy in the world, we have maybe the most sophisticated governance issues in terms of the SEC, antitrust laws, and other things which are constantly changing. And to some extent, countries look to the United States for learnings that they can adapt to their country more than they might look to other countries. And don't forget, lastly, that the second biggest economy is China, may become the first biggest economy. And in China, governance, where really the Central Communist Party controls so much of the economy, controls so much of the state-owned enterprises, it's a whole other game. And so, again, my point to you, Robert, is it's really local. And if there's one place where there's learnings to be gained from, it's from the United States.
We're going to take a commercial break right now. And when we come back, we're going to learn about governance. And here's from a man who is on 7 boards right now. That's not counting advisory boards. And teaches broadly about governance. Back in a few.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. We speak with the CEOs who've reinvented the fabric of America. We're here with Raphael Pasteurin. He's been CEO of numerous organizations. I think we've counted five so many. But also, you're on seven boards. And I've witnessed some of your governance training that you've done, which is just really smart and always hits the systemic issue. So right now, everyone is approaching ESG. All companies are. What are your thoughts on the right way to approach ESG?
As you say, Robert, ESG has become the pervasive, maybe most prominent aspect of how companies today are being viewed and judged. You can't have a conversation with Wall Street analysts or with reporters without their asking you about your ESG policies and programs and so forth. It's become an overwhelming preoccupation for everybody. Certainly shareholder activists, certainly investors, certainly employees, certainly the media, and certainly regulators. It's become the thing. And I think that over time, the emphasis on it will recede somewhat, but it's not going to go away. It's going to stay with us, and it's a good thing that it does. My concern about it is, and as it relates to some, not all companies, is that in many companies, there's a lot of virtue signaling about it. We're good guys. We believe in this thing, and they try to demonstrate that in every which way through commercials and otherwise. But what are they really doing about it? What companies are really good at, in general, which they don't all apply in this context of ESG, is what I call the three Gs. And it's simply about gaps, goals, and gauges. What companies are really good at, in general, is if they identify a gap between where they are and where they need to be, then they know what it is that they need to fill as a whole. It could be in profits, it could be in products, it could be in anything. But they first identify the gap, if any. Then they identify a goal. We want to get to XYZ within period ABC. That's a good thing. And then they have gauges. They measure along the way the extent to which they're reaching those goals, and if they're not, how they must readjust either their timeline or the goals themselves. Well, the same principle should apply in every company's case to how it deals with ESG. What are the gaps? What are our goals? And how are we going to measure how we go along the way? And that requires some kind of analytics, a work plan or an action plan, and then all sorts of gating measurement pieces along the way. And I haven't seen that level of attention and specifics in all the companies that espouse ESG. And I think the more they do that, the more likely they are to not just pay lip service to it, but to actually make a difference. And as I said, some companies do that better than others, and some companies should be doing better than they are.
Let's talk specifically about the governance part.
Governance has come to mean two things. In my opinion, one of those things is what it's always meant, the traditional notion of governance. And the second one is what has come to come into the sort of the purview as part of this overall ESG thing. The traditional part, which is important, always was there, should continue, is issues like should the chairman and the CEO be the same person? What is our succession planning plan? What is our strategic role as a board, and how do we work with management to execute on the strategy of the company? All these issues pertain to, you know, what should be the committees of our board, who should be on those committees, what should be the accountabilities, all those things. Traditional governance, very important, and it continues. But now there's an extra layer on top of it, and it's governance as it relates to two things. Governance as it relates to S and G. In other words, how do we govern and assure that whatever we're doing for society, whatever we're doing for the environment, is the right thing, and that we can oversee it and make sure that our company is socially and planetarily responsible. So that's one layer of governance which wasn't there as much before, and now it's very much there. The second part of the new governance, or the added layer of governance, is how do we deal with we as a company, and our CEO in particular, how do we deal with political issues? To what extent should we speak out? And if so, who should say what about issues that are very pervasive in our society right now? It could be voting legislation. It could be the Green New Deal. It could be carbon emissions. It could be a whole range of things. It could be diversity issues in the post-George Floyd period. All of those things are highly charged political issues. The country is highly divided. And should the CEO of the company speak out about those things? And if he or she does, what should he or she say? And that's something that I think has to be discussed between the board and the management team. And they got to agree on what the answer to those questions should be. And so I think governance has now taken on, in addition to the traditional role, the S and an E role, as well as the political speech role. And that's going to, as I said before, not, I think, go away. It's going to stay with us. But I do believe that the best way to deal with these issues is, first of all, internally, they should be discussed between the board and the management team. They should come to a view about it and then act accordingly, as opposed to too much superficial and vague and public ways of addressing these issues.
If that's interesting. If you were to give advice to someone who is first becoming a lead director, or someone who is first becoming a board member of a publicly traded board for the first time, would the advice be the same or different for both of those, and what would be the core of that advice?
I think the lead director has a role to play that's different from the other directors, particularly if he's the lead independent director. And among the roles that he or she has to play is how to deal with the board itself. How can the board evaluate itself? How can board members who are underperforming their responsibilities be dealt with, from anywhere from coaching them to boosting them out? I think one of the lead director's responsibilities is to help with the governance of the board itself. A new member of the board wouldn't have that responsibility, but it's a conversation that the lead director with a new member should be having about what are the expectations of that new member, what is the culture of the board, more importantly even, what is the culture of the company. So I think the lead director can be kind of a mentor to the new director, as well as, of course, the chairman and the CEO need to spend time with the new director.
Well, and there you have it. Thank you, Raphael, for being a guest on the CEO show. Remember what he said earlier on. You have the front mirror and the rear view mirror, but the really savvy CEOs, and probably board members and lead directors as well, are looking out the side view mirrors.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com. and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to teamgaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's teamgaday.com with Longevity. teamgaday.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Mohammed Conde. How are you, Mohammed?
Very good, thank you. How about yourself?
Good. And considering the whole pandemic we're going through, and Muhammad is the vice chairman of PwC US. So you have a different perspective because your job is actually advising CEOs, Muhammad. So I speak with CEOs every day, and what they're telling me is they're trying to plan how they can strategically emerge stronger after this crisis. So you did a study about the winners and losers of the 2008 Great Recession. What lessons did you learn from that study, and how are you advising CEOs so they can emerge stronger post-pandemic?
Yeah, thanks for the question. So I would say that one of the learnings that we have had from the last recession in 2008 was that the winners coming out of the recession were the companies led by CEOs that were able to accelerate to the last downturn. And that acceleration was across multiple dimensions. CEOs needed to make sure that they had the right cost structure in their companies because it was important for them to understand that it was really important for them to run the companies with the right level of efficiencies. And they also, not only when it comes to process efficiencies and organizational efficiencies, they use technology to become very efficient. So a lot of the companies that we have seen that could accelerate through the downturn were companies that were able to use technology to change their cost structure and the cost of running their companies per se. That was the first thing. The second thing that we saw was that the CEOs were able to use technology to change the business model that they have as far as how could they leverage technology to better serve the customers, the end customers. And it makes a huge difference because many of your companies find a way to better serve the customers, to make sure that they had the ability to use multiple channels to serve these customers. So investment in technology was prime. Third, many of the companies that were able to accelerate to the downturn were all around investing and making acquisition for either talent or for technologies that they needed to reshape the portfolio of products and services that they offered. And lastly, they invested a lot in the people to ensure that they upgraded the talent that they had internally and that they were able to acquire additional talent from outside. So a recession, what we have seen is an opportunity for CEOs to accelerate their strategies by leveraging technology, being able to make investments, but also making sure that they have the right people like you're joining the companies or upgrading their skills to be able to execute the strategy. So we actually see recession as an opportunity rather than a threat for many of our clients.
And when you look at this current crisis we're in with COVID-19, what would you advise CEOs to do based on what you learned? And when you're talking about accelerating, it's scary because no one really knows at all what the future will be like. So how do you know what to accelerate?
Nobody knows what the future is going to look like, but there's a couple of things are given in the sense that the move to the cloud is going to be, it's no longer an option to move to the cloud or not. And we have seen a lot of companies thinking about the digital transformation. And digital transformation was the purview of large corporations, mainly. But now when you see with the COVID crisis today, most of the corporations have to be able to be run in a remote fashion or virtually. And the only ability that they have today is really to make sure that the operations of companies are run by leveraging the cloud. Then they can have all the virtual environment by which their employees can be productive. So that acceleration is a must. It is a given because any company that was thinking about whether they needed to go embark into digital transformation to run the company, to run the operations, they know that there's no choice today, especially in an environment where people cannot go to the office per se. That is the first thing. The second thing, that acceleration, is to figure out for companies to understand how they can use digital technologies today to serve the customers, whether it is to market the products and services, to price the products and services, to deliver them, to support them, and to take care of the customers. Today, access to customers, access to clients has to be done through digital means. So the acceleration of digital transformation, not only for the back office, but for what we call the front office, to better serve customers, is now a must. because if people are not able to need to transact with companies in the future, they will have to do it in a way that is frictionless or contactless. The only way you do this is through digital channels.
So let's talk about where this is going and the fourth industrial revolution. And so do you believe that COVID-19 will slow down the increase in progress that we're making, or it will increase it? And what innovations are you really seeing that might happen, say, within the next decade?
I actually think that the COVID-19 crisis will accelerate the fourth industrial revolution. Let me give you a couple of examples. For example, we talk about cloud, we talk about artificial intelligence. One example around the ability to better serve customers, the ability to run companies in a very different way, but also the ability to have access to data. As we all know, artificial intelligence have been around for decades. The thing that was not available was data, because you need data to actually get the benefits of artificial intelligence. The cloud has given us the ability to store data and to have access to massive amount of data. Now artificial intelligence can be is now relevant to how companies are using artificial intelligence either to run their businesses or to better serve their customers. So we know that that acceleration, the adoption of artificial intelligence, it will increase. Why? Because as companies move to the cloud, they have access to more data. As they have access to more data, they will be able to get the benefits of artificial intelligence. Let me give you a couple of other examples. Robotics. Now, there were questions around how robotics can be used in the manufacturing environment. Now, many companies today that are in the products business, that are manufacturing products, are now thinking about how to use robotics to replace people in the manufacturing environment, especially when people cannot actually go to the factory floor. Another acceleration point. Think about drones for delivery. We all know that many of us now being working remotely know that package delivery has seen a massive increase around the country today. Now, there are a lot of studies today around how drones can help not only to ensure that, you know, packages can be delivered, but they can be used also in power and utilities for the monitoring of power lines, you name it. So we actually see a lot of use cases that were already starting over the past couple of years around the use of technology like drones, robotics, 3D printing also is the same. Again, how supply chains are going to evolve. All of these technologies now are being considered to think about how companies can change how they run the business in the future, how manufacturing can be done in a very different way, how the delivery of packages can be done in a different way, and how assets can be maintained in the field by leveraging technology. So we actually see now the COVID-19 crisis that has pretty much kept people at bay, you know, at home or, you know, and without the ability to do the work that they were supposed to do, including the manufacturing floor. We're now seeing that technology is going to be actually a big, big lever that companies would have to pull if they want to continue to run their businesses.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the CEOs who have led the fabric of America and of the world. We are speaking right now with Mohamed Kande, who is the vice chair of PwC US. And what we're hearing so far is that both front and back office are essential, because you will need frictionless customer experience in the future. We're also hearing about robotics and AI and, you know, things like Roxo, for example, that FedEx is doing. And that's actually, there's no worry of those robots getting COVID-19. So there's actually an advantage there that could happen. And we're certainly hearing how things are going to accelerate. So now we're about to take a commercial break. If you have any advice before the break, after the break, we're going to hear about leadership, but just one sentence of advice of what CEOs should do right now and how they should look at technology and transformation, but only 1 minute.
In 1 minute, first, every CEO should be able to increase their own digital or technology acumen. They need to understand what technology is and also how technology can benefit the way they're currently running their businesses. Second, they have to surround themselves with people that have an understanding of technology, but not the technologies of the past, but the technologies of the future.
And there you have it. We are about to take a break. Mohammed, when we come back, we're going to hear about an interesting concept in leadership called transcenders. So back in a few.
By disseminating CEO wisdom, the CEO Show elevates business, the economy, and society.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, and we're here today with Mohammed Conde, who is the vice chairman of PwC US. So I've always believed, Mohammed, that great leadership is revealed during crisis. You have a concept called transcenders, and talk about what the leadership principles embody and how that philosophy can be harnessed during COVID-19 by CEOs.
So a couple of things about what we believe are the transcenders and the leadership principles that they need to display. The first one is to listen. Listening to the environment, listening to the people, but also listening to trends that they see in the market. And one of the common traits that we have seen with transcenders is that they tend to be system thinkers. They look at data points coming from multiple directions and try to understand what would be the implications of all the strength on the way they run the businesses and how they can serve the customers better, right? That is the first thing, the ability to listen and to listen to technology trends, to business trends, you name it, right? That is the first thing. The second thing, we have seen that transcenders are able to surround themselves with people that provide a diversity of background. And when I say diversity of background, it's diversity of thinking, because to be able to evolve in the midst of the crisis, it means that things will need to change. And transcenders are people that have the agility to change because they seek information and they surround themselves with people that will challenge the status quo, not people that manage the status quo. And they're the ones that know how to make decisions very quickly, even with sometimes with incomplete information, because they know how to take risk. One of the things also that we are seeing about transcenders is that the transcenders have been able to really understand how to innovate. But it's business model innovation. It's not products and services. It's not about the next product category. It's not about the next services. It's about how do they innovate the way they're going to run the business. How do they innovate their own business model? They are the disruptors of the industries. And crisis, when you get into a crisis environment like COVID, we are going to see a lot of disruption coming into the economy, with new players, new challengers that will emerge because they will have the best ability to leverage technology in the way that we have not seen before. It has happened in 2008. It did happen in 2001 when we had the some of the last crises have created now a generation of companies that have disrupted a lot of industries, and we believe that something will happen today. And the transcenders would be the CEOs that are able to lead the companies to be the disruptors.
And it sounds like the transcenders will be building culture of innovation.
Yes. A culture of innovation, but also a culture that accepts failure. Because that is the other thing. Failures need to be seen in a very positive way. Failure needs to be celebrated, because if we are adverse to failing, basically we're not trying hard enough. And transcenders know that it's okay to fail. And what we have also seen, that transcenders have failed a lot, and they learn from it.
So let's now talk about PwC. You went through this transformation in 2018, new world, new skills. Talk about how that prepared you for the remoteness and for the pandemic we're in and the change of work structure, which you've already spoken about.
The first thing that we had to do at PwC about 5 years ago was to digitize our own operations, which means that we needed to make sure that all of our back office functions were run on the cloud. So we embarked into a massive digital transformation initially within PwC to ensure that we leverage the benefits of technology, the benefit of the cloud, benefit of automation to change the way we run our business. And as you can imagine, in the U.S. we have 55,000 people, but globally it's more than 260,000 people. So we needed to digitize our business first. The second thing after digitizing our infrastructure was, for lack of a better term, to digitize our people. Because people use technology. The technology doesn't work by itself. People need to use the technology. People need to adopt the technology. If we want to actually get the benefits of technology would be reaped based on the adoption of technology by people. So what we needed to do for us when we think about new world and new skills was to embark into a digital upskilling program worldwide for PwC to ensure that our people were digitally savvy, that we increase the digital acumen of our people to make sure that they had the ability not only to adopt technology and all the technology tools that we're putting in their hands, but also to create that culture of innovation, that culture of agility, so that when it came to innovation, innovation at PwC doesn't come from leadership. Innovation comes from everybody. So all of the new ideas around how do we automate how we run our business today, how should we use technology to run our business differently, it's not coming from leadership having improvement initiative that mandate to the rest of the business. No, it is coming from our people. It is coming from our staff. So the digital upskilling of our people has done two things, adoption of technology and a culture of innovation, where innovation is pretty much grassroots. And we changed completely how we're running our company today. And we have that agility and ability to basically change how we run our business by leveraging technology as much as we can. Now, new world, new skills for us to make sure that the technology platform or the digital upskilling platform that we built for ourselves to upskill our people, we made it available for the rest of the world. That's where the initiative came from. But we actually used it on ourselves first. And the results have been impressive, not only on the business results that we have been able to enjoy, but also in the quality of the staff that we have, the quality of our people, but also their willingness to continue to be there with PwC and their job satisfaction, I should say.
And on that note, Mohammed, I want to thank you. A pleasure for your inspirational message to CEOs.
Everyone, thanks for having me.
Everyone listening, there's two things to really remember for starts. Number one is you need a diversity of people, a diversity of thought, because the innovation comes from people. And now more than ever, innovation is essential. And the number two, every CEO must increase their technology acumen. On that note, see you next week on the CEO Show.
Give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.